relying on cleverness or relying on finances or relying on stuff, but the reality is it's because we claim his name that gives our life substance and significance. But there's little things along the way that are sort of fun and sort of cool, like Remington and Carriker, for example. They're pretty cool. Like having, I'll be making my own list, thank you. Like having Parker as part of this party. Jules and Peter, you guys did a superb job in leading us tonight. No, thank you. I just like it that together we're sort of paying attention to what God's doing. So we're going to wind up a series about shepherds and shepherding and stuff. Sheep herding Renovatu style. And it would be weird to talk about shepherding and not go back to something that some of us heard on the Daily Audio Bible a little while back, and that is Psalms 23. When Brian Harden read that on the Daily Audio Bible, it was cool because that particular day he was reading it out of the New Living Translation, which is those black Bibles that we have, which is what's going to be on the screen. Let's stand up and read this together. Read it loud. Read it with emphasis, with confidence, here we go. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside the peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Sit down.
Psalm 23:1-3.
That's only Psalm 23:1-3. That's not all of Psalm 23, but I want for us to close up this series looking at this passage that is all about sheep herding, that is all about watching sheep. And this is especially cool because David professionally was a shepherd. It's what he did. And so he starts telling this story. And so it's the shepherd saying, the Lord's my shepherd. He's talking now not as another shepherd, but talking as a sheep. It was kind of cool when I realized that I sort of blew it and got ahead of myself, and I wasn't supposed to be sitting up here yet, but they had one more song to sing, so I didn't want to be sitting up front. Oh, but when I stepped back there, I realized, oh, it's the shepherd's quartet. It's the four guys. It was the four old guys. That's what I was thinking. And as God continues to do stuff here, and we're trying to pay attention, it'll be kind of nice to get past this series for the four of us, because it's been sort of weird for all of us to keep, for all four of us to keep referring to us as the, you know, like we're the subject matter, and that's weird. And it's especially weird for me wearing two hats where I'm being the preacher and the shepherd. Okay. But this is going to be a great place for us to wind up, because for the next 2 weeks, we're going to just talk about this shepherd king that has led sheep, that knows all the ins and outs, has been hanging around with these critters for his entire upbringing. And now as the shepherd of Israel, he sits down with pen and paper and writes the lyrics to this song. A guy named Philip Keller wrote a book entitled A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23. And as a young man, he was a shepherd in South Africa and could speak firsthand about his personal experiences and what he knew about these animals. I want for us to just pick this verse apart, one phrase at a time, and see the richness of what God was doing then, what David was noticing at the time, and also to realize, he's still doing stuff here. So with that much said, let's pray together, and we're going to jump into this verse. God, you are so good, and song after song tonight has just had us taking opportunity to tell you how good you are to us, and how thoroughly you have saved us, and how faithfully you have rescued. So tonight, God, as we unpack three verses, would you provide some insights that we wouldn't have gained otherwise? Thank you for people as smart as Philip Keller that give us some deeper understanding. But especially, Father, we praise you for the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit that puts thoughts like this in the hearts and in the mouths of the Shepherd King David. In Jesus' name, amen. You just said the words, "The Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need." The sheep starts out by bragging. Here's what you need to know. He's my shepherd, and I've got everything I could ever need. He speaks of satisfaction, and David's talking out of personal experience here. Not just his life as he has lived before Jehovah, but he's going, here's what I know about sheep. Sheep have it only as good as their shepherd is good. He starts off by bragging because he understands that the lot in life for any sheep has everything to do with the shepherd that takes care of him. If the shepherd was gentle and gracious and courageous and kind and devoted, then those sheep were peaceful and satisfied and cared for and lived lives of contentment. If the shepherd was unconcerned, self-serving, cruel, then the animals lived lives of suffering. More than any other livestock, sheep are totally dependent on the one who is caring for them. Cows and pigs and horses can fend for themselves. Sheep cannot. And in his book, he tells a story of an awkward situation where he lived next door to another sheep rancher who was frankly a hired hand. They weren't really his sheep. He didn't really care. And so there were his sheep on one side of the fence that were healthy and peace-filled and content. And then there were sheep on the other side of the very same fence that were gaunt and riddled with parasites and disease and thirsty because the shepherd wasn't a good shepherd, because the shepherd didn't care. Indifference can kill a sheep. And so I want for us to sort of rest in this idea that as wacky as life gets and as demanding as things are in your life right now, and there's some crazy hard things going on in our Renovatus community right now, I just want to remind you who your shepherd is. Shepherding is not for the faint of heart. I can tell you that Mike and Kent and Roy and I have spent time praying together, but spent a lot of anguishing moments individually and sharing prayers with some of you because we realized, okay, this isn't just daunting, it's dangerous. It's dangerous for our marriages. It's dangerous for our families. It's It's putting ourselves out there. David was the shepherd who realized before that lion takes my sheep, he's going to take me. And as a young man, he took out a lion. And as a young man, he took out a bear. I'm sorry, but it just went through my head that as a young kid, I heard some Bible class teacher talk about David killing a bear with his bare hands. And I'm thinking, he didn't have people hands? It's really not the point. The shepherd is moved and driven by this one thing, concern for his flock. And so he's living in a dangerous situation. But it's because he delights in his flock. It's because he knows his sheep. It's because he protects. And so he's vigilant. And when the shepherds are out on the hillsides with their sheep, they get little sleep because they are vigilant through the night. Every morning begins with him taking the shepherd's staff, that long stick, and using it to pull apart the wool to check for parasites. Sometime you're going to hear a story about a nasal fly, about a fly that is drawn to mucus membranes and will find an unguarded sheep and take a stroll up his nose. Sometime you'll hear a story about a sheep that has a nasal fly that will climb all the way up there where it's dark and deep and warm, and it just feels like the perfect place to lay the eggs. Sometime you'll hear a story about larvae that hatch inside a sheep's head. And sometime you'll hear a story about a sheep that will go so crazy with the tickling and itching that's happening inside his skull that he will beat himself senseless, and a sheep that will beat himself to death if he doesn't have a shepherd who is vigilantly caring for him. But that won't be tonight. He makes sure that his sheep are cared for, and once a day he checks them for bruises and abrasions, for anything that might cause trouble. Throughout the day and throughout the night, throughout the watches of the night, he is watching for predators and problems and things that could go wrong. So David writes in Psalm 121, verse 3, "The one who watches over you will not slumber. He won't sleep." I want you to rest well tonight. I would encourage you to get drowsy during church tonight. Because we have a God who is vigilant. Because we are the sheep who can say, "The Lord's my shepherd. I have everything that I need." The next phrase is, "He lets me rest in green meadows." He lets me rest. The only reason why a sheep will lie down and rest is because he feels safe, is because he is peaceful. A nervous sheep will never lie down. And like any animal, rest is necessary, but for a sheep, his health and vitality depends on him having moments when he is literally lying down. He has to lie down. It's necessary. So what that breaks down to is the requirements for sheep rest is freedom from predators. The fear that there's something that's coming after him. He needs to feel freedom to forage. That is, he needs to know that the shepherd has made sure that in this field there isn't anything dangerous. Today, Brenda and I picked up berry vines in her horse paddock, and in the bottom of the barrel that we dumped were what were those weeds? The yellow, that horses can't eat. You know, those tansies. Is that it? Poisonous. But her barn mates made sure that it wasn't growing in that field, and they made sure it got away, and we went and dumped it away where the horses couldn't get it, because they'll eat the dangerous stuff. A sheep needs to know that this field is safe because there's been a shepherd that's been there ahead of him. And finally, he needs freedom from flock friction. Okay, I made that part up. There's a reality. Okay, we've got one horse and we've got seven chickens. And you know that expression? That's because he's at the bottom of the pecking order. Chickens made up that phrase. As we introduced five new chickens to the flock, the two old chickens, we had to make sure they were separated from each other. Because some chicken was going to say, I'm in charge and you're not. And so every day, these chickens were together, except for the chicken fence that was in between them. They could see each other, they could chat, but they have different foods, and they had different space, and they had different sleeping arrangements. And now it's interesting every night, because after 2 weeks, how long has we had the birds? 3 weeks. After 3 weeks, the birds are now all together, and it's always interesting to see if they're all going to be in the chicken coop that's a little bit larger, or in the doghouse that was the original chicken coop that we put the two birds in initially, because, well, we had to be careful about the pecking order. It's true of sheep as well, but it's not pecking they do, it's butting they do. And in order for them to have peace and to be able to rest, it's really important that the sheep know the shepherd's in charge and not the biggest bully in the flock. Peace can only happen when those are realities around them. Listen to this passage from Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel writes, in God's position, he says, I will myself will tend my sheep and give them a place to lie down in peace, says the Sovereign Lord. I will search for my lost ones who have strayed away, and I will bring them safely home again. I will bandage the injured and strengthen the weak, but I will destroy those who are fat and powerful. Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I will surely judge between the fat sheep and the scrawny sheep. For you fat sheep pushed and butted and crowded my sick sheep and hungry flock until you scattered them to distant lands. So I will rescue my flock, and they will no longer be abused. I will judge between one animal of the flock and another. That's what a good shepherd does. And when a good shepherd does his thing, that's when sheep can lie down and rest. He leads me beside peaceful streams. This is lovely imagery. It sounds very poetical, but the poet here is not being poetical. He's being very practical. One of the greatest fears that a sheep can encounter in his life is drowning. Once a sheep has a good coat of wool on it, to be in deep water is deadly. Cannot swim hard enough, fast enough, is not buoyant enough, and it will drown. So the only way a sheep can be alive is when the shepherd goes ahead of it and make sure that the stream that they are going to has a place that the water's not moving too fast, because that will make the sheep afraid, not to mention the reality of being washed downstream, isn't too deep, and is clean enough and pure enough. Water has to be prepared for the sheep. Has to be prepared for dangers, for depth and impurities. It's just a beautiful thing to think in terms of God is diligent because he's a shepherd. He's diligent because he's the one who has gone ahead. Did you hear Wendy's words? The only way those firemen could find peace is to go where the fire's already been. And he has been there ahead of us. He strategizes and he plans. He renews my strength. He finds those places, those quiet, still places where I can be renewed, where I can be restored. David isn't always jolly in his writings. As a matter of fact, I'm looking forward to February 17th when we're going to unpack one of the psalms that we'll be reading together that week. But Psalm 42:11 says, "Why am I so discouraged?" Another version says, "Downcast." Why am I so downcast? Why is my heart so sad? Let me tell you about what it means when a sheep is cast. A sheep can lie down. But if a sheep falls to its side, that's called it's being cast. If a sheep is cast, bad things happen. This is one of those bizarre things about this particular livestock, that if a sheep is on its side, it can eventually die because of the juices and the gases that build up in its digestive system. It's vulnerable, it's paralyzed, and uncaught by a faithful shepherd, it's deadly. I mention that because I have voices in my head sometimes that say, I shouldn't have this problem, or I shouldn't feel this way because, well, I'm 61 years old and I'm mature. I shouldn't have these kind of thoughts because I've been a Jesus follower for a long time. I can't go to Renovatus anymore because people hurt my feelings and I don't feel safe there. I just have these things that bounce around inside my skull, and I convince myself of this and convince myself of that, and I should feel this way and I shouldn't feel that way. Being cast, being in a vulnerable position, is not about strength or weakness. As a matter of fact, it's the hardiest sheep that have the biggest coat of wool. Coat of wool? What do you call it? Coat of wool. That are the most vulnerable. If they get on their side, they are least likely to be able to struggle their way back to their feet again. It's not about strength. It's just about this reality that it is the nature of sheep to go through hard times. So even in a perfect church, that's what we should name our church next. Our next church, we're going to call it the Perfect Church of Christ. And everybody will go, this is? Yeah. But you probably wouldn't measure up. Yeah, there's no, and nobody, it's okay, Jesus said, and they won't let me in either. In Brian Harden's voice. Being in a place of renovation, of growth, of change and development, it's who we are, and troubles are going to come. And I'm sorry about the troubles and the hurts and the pains, but if you have a pulse, then you're going to have trouble. And if you don't, you've got trouble. I'm just saying trouble's going to be a reality. That's the reality of every sheep. But here's the reality. We have a good shepherd. And you remember that one story where he said, I'm going to leave the 99 in one place, and I'm going to go out for that one. And I need you to know, when he's talking about restoration, he's talking about those moments when he's crying out and saying, why am I so downcast? And he remembers his shepherd restores him, brings him back up to his feet where he belongs, where he will not suffer anymore, where he will not die. Rescue and restoration is personal. It's one-on-one. It's him reaching out to the one that he's committed to. It really is about you. Psalm 56:13 says, for you've rescued me. You've rescued me from death. You've kept me and my feet from slipping. So now I can walk in your presence, O God, in your life-giving light. Paul phrased it this way in 1 Corinthians 10:12. If you think you're standing strong, be careful. Be careful not to fall. Hebrews 12 talks about the reality of discipline. For our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years, doing the best they knew how, but God's discipline is always good for us, so that while it's happening, it might be painful. But he desires for us to share in his holiness. Afterwards, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. If you're downcast, cry out to the shepherd. Allow him to do his work of restoring. It's what he does so well. And it may not be easy. And discipline's not supposed to be easy. But when you're back on your feet, you'll find life and true restoration. And in all of that craziness and all of that pain and in the dark moments, trust the shepherd. He's really a good shepherd. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Sheep are creatures of habit. They will walk a trail and walk in that same trail over and over and over. They will walk a rut wherever they go because they will walk in the same path. I told you about some sheep that would come through my backyard in Cedar City, Utah. We kids loved it. My dad hated it because teeth don't have lower sheep. Sheep don't have lower teeth on their jaw. It's just bald. And so they pinch. Oh, it's opposite. They have teeth on the bottom and are bald on top. So when they graze, they grab the grass and they don't cut it off. They pinch it and pull it. So we are loving the fact that there's 150 sheep going through our yard. But afterwards, my dad goes out to his yard and goes, well, they won't have to mow this for, well, until they come back next year. They would destroy our yard every year. I'm not sure what the shepherd was thinking there. Well, there's some nice grass over there in the woods' backyard. Of all the livestock, there isn't an animal that is more destructive to land than sheep, because they will wear it out walking in the same places, walking deep ruts in. They will tear grass out so that it won't regrow because it's gone and missing. That's how deep their pinching goes. As a matter of fact, I talked about the preparation of water, making sure it's pure, but they'll drink anything. They'll drink out of the puddles before they get to the stream unless they have a shepherd that's diligent. They will pollute their own water and drink from that. I'll not pursue that imagery any further. I'm just saying, bless their hearts. Sheep are so dumb. They're really simple animals. Unless they have a good shepherd. Because of all the manure available from all the livestock, guess whose manure is the most beautiful and enhancing and perfectly balanced? Sheep. If they are managed well, a good shepherd can turn a grazing area into a beautiful park. Left to themselves or left to a bad shepherd, they will destroy. But in the hands of a good shepherd, managed well, they can turn an ordinary place or a broken and damaged place into something that is beautiful and rich and lush. No other livestock requires more handling or creates as much beauty. A wise shepherd knows what he's doing and does it for the vitality of the sheep, for the health of the land, and frankly, for his own personal reputation. As a matter of fact, he guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. He has a reputation, and you know what does it best for him? You and me. We live in a world that is critical of Christians. And that's a sad reality. But let it not be so in your world. May you leave a blessing behind you. May your presence at your work and in your neighborhood be something that brings joy and peace and beauty to the lives that you come in contact with. You know why? Not so your life is better. Not so that Christianity has a better reputation. We don't need it. Oh, but you carry yourself that way because that's what sheep do when they're managed well. And if you don't leave that kind of pathway behind you, if you don't leave a wake of blessing behind you, that only means yours is not the good shepherd. You're not following him closely enough. There's some beauty that we're going to deal with next week that has to do with sheep that are being watched over by the good shepherd, but they're still rebellious and have their own ideas about how life should go. So be sure and come back and bring your rebellious friends with you, because it'll be a blessing to hear that. And so a good shepherd keeps them on the move. They don't stay in one place for too long, because they will destroy that land eventually. He'll let them deposit their blessings in one place for a while. Let them spread their goodness and then move on. He knows the terrain. He keeps them walking in paths of rightness, of righteousness. And guys, there's joy in the movement. I had a weird conversation at Starbucks where I had to explain, our church, we have to set up every week because we don't have a space that's our own. We have church in Tupperware tubs. I sort of like it that the nature of Renovati says, we're on the move. We're in the school. We're in the Grange Hall. We're at the tech center. We're sort of moving around. I like the imagery that just comes with the nature of this church. But the truth is, that's true of God's people. We're the ones that leave a blessing. Yeah, because he's shown us that path. Isaiah 53:6 says, all of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We've left God's paths to follow our own. But we have a choice to ruin or restore. We're going to wrap this up next week and be done now. But Jesus is the one that said in John 14, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He's the one that called himself the good shepherd. In John 10, he said, the sheep recognize his voice and they come to him. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them. And they will follow him because they know his voice. So there's water outside that door. And I don't know if this is a choice and a decision for you tonight, but I do know this. God's faithful. and good. And I would ask, do you need to be baptized tonight? Do you need to take opportunity? On the first of every month, we make sure that is full. But the reality is that's a symbol of this greater thing. And the greater thing is we're the people that are following the shepherd. We're the ones that are hearing his voice. I love it that he knows me by name. I'm not lost. I have a place. I've been driving bus 245 for 3 years, and I've been driving buses now for 8 years. And after that amount of time, I'm sort of surprised at this point that, oh, she knows my name. Somebody knows me. Or sometimes I get teased because maybe I made a smart alecky comment on the radio. Yeah. But I'll say something silly and goofy, and somebody that I don't know responds to me and calls me by name. And I feel like a little kid, you know, when somebody says my name and it's like, you know my name? I feel childish. I'm one of the old guys, for pity's sakes. But we're all desperate to be known, to be seen. Remember that line from Avatar that became so meaningful the further into the movie you got? I see you. We're desperate to be seen. As we continue on the journey, as we wrap up this conversation next Sunday night, may you rest knowing this, that he knows your name. He sees you. He doesn't just go, Kevin, right? Yeah. But I'm fully known. And he loves me anyway. Let's pray. God, you are so faithful, and we are such sheep. You are so good, and left to our own devices, we make really foolish decisions. We are caught up in our own designs and passions and wayward thoughts. And it's not like you ignore it. Sometimes, Father, you are loving enough to discipline us. And while we hate that, we do like the idea of you being a good shepherd and knowing that I'm going to get through this because I'm not strong, but he is faithful and he is kind and loving and wants the very best. So, God, as we journey, as we follow, may we follow you. May we hear your voice. May we be attentive to your nudges. May we be aware of your spirit as you lead. May we hear his voice in one another, in the world around us, in the power and the beauty of the scriptures. And God, may you allow him to whisper your sweet words of love into our hearts. We pray through the Spirit. We pray by the name of Jesus, our good shepherd, to you, Father. Amen.